Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 6 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now.
I'm going to put it right on the line. Been a lot of complaints already.
Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app.
A naked man has few secrets. A flayed man, none.
Or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super Team.
It's on right now.
That's Coach Will Wade after Saturday's victory over Tennessee. Boot up, baby. That's quite the win. Dave Schultz and the married man, Cody Schutz, back in the hot seat. Both of us out for a couple of days. I want to thank again Joey Heimel for filling in. Thanks to Emily Gian Greco and Shakira Martin. Cody, I don't know about you, but I got more followers when I wasn't here on Twitter. I don't know if I should take that personally or not, but, you know.
Right.
Hashtag, there's always a bright side.
Admittedly, I haven't been on social media in a hot minute. So
why would that be? I wonder why.
I have no idea.
All right. So let's get into this right now. Again, 706-0111, 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. We're live in the 237 Roof Studios. And have the expectations been raised for LSU basketball? All right, they stubbed their toe. I was wrong about the Florida ball game. And maybe we're hearing it more because Tremont Waters was sick. And here's the other thing about the Tremont Waters thing. All right, why they just don't say he's got the flu? Right? Undisclosed illness, all right? And went from concussion to suspension to whatever the case was when all he had was the flu. At least that's what they told us. And you can't say, well, the HIPAA laws is preventing us from telling you because of privacy laws. That's the privacy laws. That's why you get, you know, in football, he's got a lower body injury or an upper body injury. You know, you can't be specific with that for privacy reasons. But you can't tell us nothing and then tell us, well, he's getting IVs. You could sort of gave away the game right there, right? So LSU absolutely stole one from Tennessee. Tremont Waters doesn't play. Naz Reid has 1 point. And they beat Tennessee. And a guy right from the Cajun Dome and WWE Monday Night Raw, Admiral Schofield, is playing for Tennessee. What kind of name is that, Cody? It's a great name, by the way. Admiral Schofield. Yeah, it's a WWE character if I ever heard. It's not NASCAR. No, it is WWE. It's not like Riggs Thridgill, whatever his name is, from LSU. This is right out of the WWE. Admiral Schofield. They couldn't stop him. I mean, he's making some tough shots against a pretty good defense. But they absolutely stole one. You know, you don't have to look that far. Let's look at Duke. Duke Lucas loses Zion Williamson against Carolina, and they get discombobulated. Right? They didn't have Cam Reddish and Trey Jones. They lost Trey Jones against Syracuse the first time, and they get beat by what is a very average, at best, Syracuse team. I know they didn't have Zion this time against Syracuse, but they had a few days. Coach Mike Krzyzewski said, we talked about it. There's a good chance. Coach Krzyzewski goes, good. He may not come back. He may injure himself again in rehab. You know, you guys just going to throw away the whole season because we lost Zion? They still got three NBA players on there, right? R.J. Barrett, Cam Reddish, and Trey Jones are all NBA players. And see what happens when Duke doesn't have every one of their players. They struggled. Struggled against Syracuse in the first half. If Syracuse could have hit anything, I guess, in the... I was on a plane when this was happening. If they could have hit anything in the second half, they probably would have won. LSU doesn't have the point guard. And Naz Reid is a non-factor offensively. Some good defense and some good rebounding in the second half. Wasn't on the floor very much in the first half. And oh, by the way, hashtag humblebrag, I ran to the Pacific Ocean on Saturday. My cousin tells me, you know, it's only 5 miles, so I'm wondering, Cody, is that rounding up, rounding down? Is it like 6.5? I usually run 5 miles on a Saturday, so it was only 4.5, less than 4.5. So I ran it. Somehow I got off the bike path, but whatever. I just make sure I was going in the right direction. I Ubered back. By the way, interesting note, cheaper to get a 5 mile cab ride in Uber in LA than a 2.5 mile cab ride in Louisiana. I do not know why. All right. One was at 9:30 in the morning, and the other one was at, or just after 9, and the other one was post, you know, Rio parade. Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. But I'm getting in the car and I'm on the Twitterverse, and you just see it. LSU looks all discombobulated. Oh my God. They can't get in their offensive sets. You could see how much they missed Trey Waters. Cody, at the first media timeout, it was 10-7 Tennessee. People were like, it was 24-0 in the first 5 minutes of the ballgame. As if we haven't seen this team fall behind, 26-10 to Auburn. You may start putting LSU in the same nod as a Duke, as a Kentucky, as a Tennessee, although now they've lost 2 out of 3. And if this team had beaten Florida, they'd be going for a number one seed. They'd be a game up in the SEC regular season, and they'd be certainly a 2 seed. But because they lost to Florida, their net rating, I guess, is back to 14. They can't seem to get past that, whatever reason the case is. But this LSU team has absolutely raised expectations. I was actually a little bit disappointed in Javonte Smart. I don't know if he's going too fast. I don't know if his shorts are on too tight or too short, whatever the case may be. He had a tough time standing up on his own 2 feet at the end of that first half. And this game could have gotten away from him. At the end of the first half, it could have gotten away from him. In the beginning of the second half, it could have got away from him. It did get away from him. Again, I got in like a 1-point game. I got in the car. No, I'm sorry. I got in the car. It was a 7-point game. We went to go see my little cousin, Sporty E, by the way, play a little basketball game there on Saturday. And I get in the car, and it's 64-57. I'm driving, so, you know, can't watch. 64-57, and Tennessee has the basketball. Game's over. Game's done. By the time we get to the park, I swear the update guy tells me it's 68-67 Tennessee. I'm a 1-point game. It's a 1-point game. And certainly when it comes to LSU, give a little Robichaux in there, they're certainly weathered. Right? They got weathered against Arkansas. They got weathered against Florida. They've been weathered against Missouri. Been weathered twice against Georgia. This team is set for the NCAA tournament. They had to go to Plan C on Saturday. We're going to go into Naz Reid. No, couldn't handle it against Grant Williams. Grant Williams is 6'7". Grant Williams is a tweener when it comes to the NBA. Naz Reid, 6'10", 250. But one's a kid and one's a man. And Naz Reid couldn't handle it. 1 point from Naz Reid. Good rebounding, 1 point offensively. This LSU basketball team has put itself into the conversation of Final Four. Don't say, well, it's just LSU, it doesn't matter. No, no. Past years don't matter. It doesn't matter that, you know, 2 years ago they had two seasons ago, had a 15-game losing streak. I thought it was 17, but I read it was 15. That doesn't matter, all right? Doesn't matter that, you know, they got all jacked up to beat the Cajuns last year, then went out to Utah and lost. Doesn't matter. This team is set for an NCAA tournament. And again, the only team that I'd rather not see is Duke. I think Zion will be back. At least not to see Duke until the Final Four. But if you're a two seed, see if you can get away from the Dukies. I don't think they're going to have trouble with Michigan State. Please bring on Gonzaga and Virginia. Please. Please, 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 please. I think this team is Final Four bound. I do. To think what they did, they absolutely stole one from Tennessee. You see what happens when Duke doesn't have their players. You see what happens when maybe a Michigan State doesn't have their players. Or someone doesn't play well for Kentucky. The point guard had 0 points because he was sick. And the power forward center had 1 point, a free throw in overtime. This LSU basketball team is good. It's good. And it'll be a little bit interesting because this week, finally, LSU is playing, you know, some competition. And Texas in baseball. Who's LSU got in basketball this week?
A&M.
Yeah, A&M and Bama. A&M tomorrow night, right here on 103.7 The Game. All right. We'll see if Waters is back. I don't necessarily need to rush him. Right? They tried to give him fluids on Friday night and Saturday. It didn't work. Skyler and Javonte Smart, you take it. You handle it. A&M's not good. Let Waters sit out for a couple more days and have him ready to go on the road to Bama. So they got A&M and Bama this week at Florida, which I am nervous about, although now you know LSU is going to have revenge on their mind, and they finish up with Vanderbilt. This team could very well be a Final Four basketball team, all right? Could very well be a Final Four basketball team. All right, what do you guys think? 706-0111, 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. Also, I mean, the referees were atrocious. The officiating was god-awful. The amount of reviews was ridiculous. I think they had more reviews in the last 5 minutes and in overtime than buckets. It was bad. There was one where they're calling it was out of bounds. They're looking at that under the basket. There's one where they're looking at a foul. I get the one where, you know, you get the elbow. Although they called a foul on Tennessee, and then they reversed it and called a foul, though that foul stood, by the way, on Grant Williams. Was it Reed with the elbow? Which was an elbow, and they gave Tennessee the ball and two shots in the ball. Yeah, I'm pumped up for this LSU basketball. I know college basketball does, you know, lucky if it rates, you know, fourth round here. But until LSU baseball gets really going, and although they do play Texas this weekend, you only got it goes a little bit later, about 6 weeks now. It actually is like the second full weekend in April, the Final Four, which is a little bit long. But I'm looking forward to it. All right. Cajuns do get 1 out of 2 on the road. Had a chance for 2 out of 2. I don't mind their last shot. All right, guests coming up. Theo Sliman, Louisiana Classics Golf. Starting today at Oakbourne, you got Mike Murphy, Jeff Palermo, Fausti, and the Pelicans. And what is going on with them? We'll talk about that next. More basketball right here on the Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Your Best Actor winner. Woohoo! He got it from Bohemian Rhapsody. A lot of the favorites won last night, I guess, in the Oscars. I didn't watch all that much. I watched and was severely disappointed in the True Detective finale. I won't ruin it, but I don't know. They just sort of have this whole show and then make it up at the end. You know. Disappointing. Did you guys watch the Oscars? Did you boycott the Oscars? Did you not watch the Oscars? You know, it is really a self-serving, you know, celebration of themselves. But we keep going to the movies, right? You know, People Magazine sells. All those magazines sell. And it's all about that. How many, you know, Entertainment Tonight shows do we have? A bunch. Now, they all do well. I mean, the Kardashians are on TV. They're famous for, you know, being Kardashians. That's been on a long time. All right, 706-0111, 706-0111 on the ARCO Equipment Hotline talking LSU. We need a Shut Up Dave Poll question here, Cody. Oh, and by the way, at the Sports Talk Conference, which, can I tell you, Cody, shook Jim Rome's hand. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I should have got a picture and probably should have asked him for a liner, but I'm going to go through proper channels for that. We did ask for a liner, but we haven't gotten it. But now that he met me, and I'm sure he remembered me, it's only been a few days. There was a whole presentation of merchandising. The Shut Up Dave t-shirt is coming. The Shut Up Dave t-shirt's coming. All right, it doesn't take that much. All right, we'll get it. All right, let's do a Shut Up Dave poll question, Cody. With the LSU Tiger win over Tennessee, has Will Wade raised expectations for LSU basketball? Is it Final Four a bust? Now, that's really high expectations, although that's what I had, I guess, been joking about last year. Could go from NIT to Final Four. And what a difference. We saw this from the get-go with Will Wade. We saw it from the get-go last year. The effort that they put in. How hard they played. And remember, this was from a team 4 years ago that bailed on itself. That Johnny Jones, who I think is still doing a pretty good job with Texas Southern, allowed the team to quit and not go to the NIT. They didn't want to get embarrassed again. Ben Simmons wasn't going to play. I think somebody else maybe got sick. Maybe Blakeney was sick. But, you know, if you're Johnny Jones, it is what it is. Who wants to play college basketball, baby? Some of you are never going to play another organized basketball game in your life. Outside of maybe the Y. Or the local rec. Let's go play one here. Nope, we're quitting. And then, obviously, they didn't play well the following year. And you get Will Wade in, and we just got it. The Athletic Daily. Are you still doubting LSU? That is the cover story of LSU. How about that? If you're still doubting LSU, reconsider. An OT win over the Vols is another statement made. Even if they had done it with Trey Waters and Naz Reid being effective, it would have been an impressive win. Without him is even more impressive. Yeah, I think the expectations have been raised. It is tough to do it. We say second weekend, you know, you get to the Elite Eight. That's a great year, and if that's the case, it will still be a great year for LSU. But they have raised the stakes. The problem is sometimes they play and can get knocked out in the first round. That's going to be the disappointment, right? When you have this talent and you have the ability, and you've been weathered, and you go out a little earlier than you should. If they lose in the Sweet 16, okay, it's going to be a good team, right? Most likely. Could face somebody a lower seed, but most likely it's going to be a good seed, all right? Disappointing, but still a really good season. They get out before the Sweet 16. It's been a disappointing ending, if you ask me. But I think they've set themselves up to be a Final Four contender. All right, 706-0111. 706-0111. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz back on a Monday morning sports chat. We are live in the 237 Roof Studios. All right, Anthony Davis and the Pelicans. I mean, this is really ridiculous. He wants to play, but he's not going to play in back-to-back ball games? Is he out of shape or something? Is he coming back from like a knee? Got a bad shoulder. So all of a sudden, that doesn't come out, right? We didn't hear about he wasn't going to play in back-to-back ball games until the Lakers are the back end of the back-to-back ball game. Lose to Indiana, but now we're not going to play against the Lakers, who, by the way, overcome a 19-point deficit while I'm out there. It was last Thursday. A lot of people went. I didn't. to the Lakers ball game, they overcome Houston, and the Lakers are trying for that 8th spot. And LeBron is going into playoff mode. LeBron, that means no social media, even though he's got 18 different projects going on. They all seem to be coming out now, although that's usually done way back when. But it's odd that he's the one who comes out and says he's, you know, his teammates aren't focused and, you know, really he's got everything else that's going on. So Anthony Davis all of a sudden is going to sit against the Lakers who are trying to make the playoffs. Are they kidding? Is the NBA, I mean, Cody, we talked about this with the NFL, right? They're not that far away from being the WWE. The NBA basically is. The NBA is basically, we're going to get the Lakers in the playoffs no matter what we have to do. Anthony Davis, you sit. You don't play. Although I would do it the other way, Cody. I would. You want to know what, Anthony? You want to play. You said you want to be traded. You want to play? I don't know who. I would give the credit because I saw this on the Twitterverse. You know what? We're going to up your minutes. You're now playing 42 to 45 minutes a game, every game, back-to-back included. Well, now you're really risking it. Yeah, but there's somewhere there's that point of no return. Is there a big difference between 34 minutes and 42 minutes? I don't think so. So now he doesn't play, and oops, Cody, the rest of the team went off script. Yeah. They saw the script. They didn't like the script. The Pelicans end up beating the Lakers relatively easily, by the way. Relatively easily. What was it, 128-115? Is that what I got? Yeah, there it is, 128-115. And actually, the Lakers didn't play all that bad. LeBron, 27-12. Brandon Ingram, 29. That's not bad. Only had 5 rebounds, though. Kyle Kuzma a little bit off, 16 points, 8 rebounds. But listen to these. Listen to some of these numbers. Julius Randle, 24 points. Drew Holiday, 27 points, 10 of 18 shooting. The whole starting five had double figures. Okafor, only in 13 minutes, because we'll get to why. He had 10 points on 4-7 shooting. Cheick Diallo, who I've never been a big fan of, but Cody had 18 points in 19 minutes. He was 8-8 from the floor and 2-2 from the line and 10 rebounds. 18 points, 10 rebounds, 19 minutes. Ian Clark, 17 points, 26 minutes. So the NBA, the Pelicans for all that fact, and the Lakers and Clutch Sports all tried to fix it for the Lakers to win, and the Pelicans went off script. They scored 42 points in the first half, in the first quarter.
They call that going into business for yourself.
Is that what that's
called?
That's
what it's called. That's the little phrase.
All right.
Going into business for yourself.
That's what they did. The team plays harder, win or lose, without Anthony Davis on the floor. And they need to get him off the floor. Back after this on the Monday Morning Sports Chat on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The Game. All right. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on Monday Morning Sports Chat 706-0111, 706-0111. The Arco Equipment Hotline. We're in the 237 Roof Studios. Let's see what the Twitter poll question is. I probably have to retweet it as well. The first Shut Up Dave poll question: has Will Wade raised the Tigers' expectation of the Final Four a bust? I'm going to say yes. With the win over Tennessee, I think that's what it is. Final Four a bust. That doesn't mean that it's a bad year if it gets. Doesn't get to that. They don't get to the second weekend of the tournament. It's a disappointing year. And that could have been with or without the Tennessee win. This is a Sweet 16 team. They need to win 2 games in the NCAA tournament. How great is it, though, Cody? Think about how great that is. You want to turn it around. It's a disappointing year if LSU doesn't make it to the Sweet 16. LSU doesn't even go to the NCAA tournament, meanwhile, Sweet 16.
Right. That means up to this point, they've at least done something right.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They have raised expectations. All right, we got Theo Sliman talking golf, Louisiana Classics coming up, Mike Murphy talking Cajun Soups. We'll get to that in a second. Palermo talking LSU basketball and baseball. Fausti doesn't put a ball on it with Scott D. Kushner. This is Kush coming up at 8:45. All right, we do have an early phone call. Who you got, Cody?
Jay is on the line.
Hey, Jay, good morning.
Hi. I must admit, I listened to the game on this station, 103.7.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I didn't see the final call, but the way they won that game against Tennessee, did you think that was kind of cheap? Like to kind of win the game on a foul? You know.
Well, not nearly as cheap as did Mississippi State win a ball game with a teddy bear was thrown onto the court.
Oh, wow.
Well, hold on. First of all, I don't know about cheap. I mean, he ran into Javonte Smart. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't believe in that. I believe the pass.
I didn't see it.
So. Okay. Well, I know Saints fans don't believe this, and neither does the NFL. But I don't buy the whole. You know, if it's pass interference in the first 2 minutes, it should be pass interference in the last 2 minutes. So if it's a foul in the first 30 seconds, it should be a foul in the last 30 seconds. Also, by the way, Skylar Mays was fouled on the 3-point attempt at the end of regulation. On his head, by the way, and that was not called.
Yeah.
So I don't know how cheap it was. I mean, a foul is a foul. What are the referees supposed to look at the clock? I guess they know there's only a few seconds left, but.
Yeah, like I said, I'm going to have to look at it. But I was just wondering, you know. Yeah, I was just curious. I'm going to hang up and hear your thoughts. What's your take on, I know you're a big Syracuse fan. What's your take on the whole Bayham situation?
You think
this incident could leave him, retiring? I thought he was going to at least retire to watch his son play after he leaves. But
right.
You think an incident like this can force him to retire? All right, thank you.
Thanks. I appreciate the call. I mean, Cody, I was going to, you know, tweet out to Will Wade and Billy Napier and Bob Marlin and Ed Orgeron, you know, after Boeheim's in his situation and Bob Kraft is in his situation. I'm like, what's going on with the teams that I root for? Just an awful situation. If you don't know, Jim Boeheim, after they had a huge win against Louisville, killed a man, avoiding an accident that the person in front of him was already in. They were already in a fender bender. The person who was driving was coming around to see if his friends were okay and actually get out of the road. Boeheim avoiding the accident ends up hitting the man and killing him. All right? No alcohol involved and just a tragedy. I am no lawyer, but, you know, that no charges are being brought is a little interesting to me. I get it. Well, an accident is an accident. I don't think it should be, you know, murder or anything along those lines, but there is a man who died. And Boeheim said after the ball game, this is never going to get better. And it's not about me. All right? So, you know, Boeheim and his wife are going to take care of the family. The university's probably going to take care of the family. Right? If they want to go to school at Syracuse, here's two scholarships. That doesn't bring back dad.
No.
Yeah,
so I saw that on the bottom ticker. Right. I forget. We were at a restaurant somewhere, I think.
Right.
We were eating. And I saw it on the ticker. And it was like scrolling away from me as I read it. So.
Right.
My first thought was, you know, similar to the first thought I had about the Robert Kraft thing when you see his name in the headlines and, oh, did you hear about this? First thing I thought is like, oh, no, like Robert Kraft is still alive. Jim Boeheim is still alive, right? And then you see, and especially with the Boeheim, you see a death thing in there when it rolls by. And
well,
I got concerned, and then turns out that the concern was warranted. It was just needed to be pointed somewhere else.
Well, I was at the gym. I did not see it. I was traveling, and boy, trying to find where to get your rental car out of the LAX is not the easiest thing. Every other airport seems to be really easy. By the way, Cody, saw Joakim Noah in Dallas.
He's kind of hard to miss.
I always see somebody, although he doesn't really know me. But you know.
Does he still have the long hair and all that?
He had a hat on. Okay. Yeah.
He's kind of tough to miss, though. He's really tall.
6'10", yeah.
Yeah.
So I was at the gym. Right? And, you know, I didn't know what happened. I kind of went to bed. Well, I mean, I was in bed 9:30, 10 o'clock L.A. time. I guess this accident had already happened. And so a friend of mine, it's Jake from State Farm, is telling me, you know, I literally thought it was a metaphor, a joke. I did. Boeheim ran over somebody last night. Yeah, sure did. Chris Mack in Louisville. Yeah, showed them. Then I get on the treadmill and the TV gets on. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I thought you were kidding. I would tell you, I was a little bit surprised that he coached on Saturday. All right, I was a little bit surprised. Sort of used the players that he owed it to them. You know, I don't know if he made the decision or the AD made the decision, but the university made the decision that he was going to coach. So it is a difficult situation. All right, the Bob Kraft situation is totally something completely different. And if I'm Bob Kraft and I'm denying the reports. I may go purchase TMZ today. Because I'll tell you, Cody, we saw where my little cousin was playing basketball. There's an older gentleman kicking a ball. And I would tell you he had a Speedo on. It got a little closer. It was not a Speedo. And my my cousin's husband's a canter. He goes, "You see that look?" I go, "Yeah, I saw it. I don't need to see it again." You know, that's about a half a step up from Robert Kraft. And I really don't want to see the Robert Kraft tape.
Oh, no, no.
But before I deny it, he's denying it, and now there's going to be a tape. You know the tape's going to come out now.
Your buy TMZ now idea is the best thing I've heard on this whole situation.
You know, he better buy TMZ before the day's out, man.
I mean, you know, could you see that? How about that for a headline?
Well, you got all that going on, right? I mean, all these guys are buying these huge boats where they can't really do anything about it. I don't know where they bring their ships into. Arthur Blank, $100 million, $180
right,
million
I saw
ship,
that.
You know?
It'd be like the end of Justice League when right. Batman buys Superman's mom's house and farm back.
Oh, really?
And he's like, the farm was in like foreclosure. How'd you get the farm back? And he's like, I bought the bank. Like, the Batman was like, I bought the bank.
Right.
He's literally just pull one of those.
Spoiler alert.
Right.
You know, Bezos may buy like the National Enquirer, AMI. So with I'm certainly not going to sit here and defend Robert Kraft. All right, there's no defending Robert Kraft. Okay, I mean, he may have just gone off the deep end a little bit with his wife passing a few years ago. Right? I mean, I heard in L.A. he's having a midlife crisis. The man's in his 70s. There's no midlife crisis. He's having an end of life crisis.
That's the best midlife crisis
right?
you can have in your
right?
70s.
I mean, he went from having this great wife and leaving her while she was sick to negotiate the deal with the players. Lockout a couple years ago to having this hottie girlfriend, right, in her 30s. What she's doing with him, I do not know. We can all take a wild stab with that one. To now he's going to a massage parlor. Where is it? Jupiter, Cody, in Palm Beach?
In a strip mall, I believe. Two times.
So now you get to that. So again, I'm not going to sit here and defending him, okay? But there seems to be a gaping hole from the happy ending to the sex trafficking thing.
Yeah, I don't think Robert Kraft's not linked to that part of it. I would
not yet.
Initially.
Not yet. Yeah. I heard on the radio some caller was calling the national show, CBS, that apparently in the Bay Area, these men get, it's like a gym membership. They pay annually. Now, if that's the case, then you're getting closer to that.
Welcome in, Mr. Robinson. But then, do you put anything behind that Schefter tweet that then went absolutely nowhere?
Not yet.
That has, or at least yet.
Not yet.
Do you put anything behind that?
We got the Jupiter and Schefter tweet. Was there a bigger? Someone was on social media, by the way. Claims he wasn't on social media. Now he knows he's on social media.
What's that?
You.
What did I do?
You knew about the Schefter tweet.
I heard. I was listening to Taz and News this morning.
All right.
Shh, you're giving away my secrets, Dave.
All right. Okay. Schefter said they're bigger names than Robert Kraft. All right. And
very interesting.
A radio broadcaster in Pittsburgh saw the name and thinks that he's a prominent member of a prominent golf club up there. So, I don't know.
We don't deal in rumor and innuendo here, Dave.
Well, that's what he thought. You know, he saw the name. Right. No, we only started and perpetuated.
Right.
But we only got the list of people who were there in that county. That's a county over there. Whatever it is, Palm Beach County, compared to Parrish. There could be others. But I would certainly hope that TMZ wouldn't have a tape if I'm Robert Kraft and I'm coming out here and denying it. Or you plead guilty, you pay the fine, and move on. Because it's going to get worse for Robert Kraft if he sits up and starts denying it. As for Boeheim, we'll see. I'm not sure. He was supposed to retire a couple years ago. The guy leading Washington to a 20-win season, Mike Hopkins, was supposed to be the coach. He was the coach in waiting. And Boeheim was taking too long to retire. And now he's got his kid, who's pretty good, by the way. although I don't know how well he played the other night against Duke. But you can see the emotion, and the fans gave him a standing ovation. Of course, somebody got online and said, what, we're clapping for Boeheim. And it wasn't that he killed somebody. It was that the community supports him to get through this tough time is what it was, right? And he was crying. His wife was crying. Again, I think they're going to take care of the family. Boeheim says, it's not about me. It's about them. You know, their life will never be the same. He even did say, my life will never be the same. It's not going to get better today. It's not going to get better tomorrow. It's not going to get better next week. And it ain't going to get better next year. No. So, we'll see what happens. Again, you know, Joe Oliva, Brian Mager, just lay low. Right? Just Will Wade, Ed Orgeron, Tony Robichaud. You know, these things usually happen in threes, Cody. Jim Boeheim, Robert Kraft. Goodness gracious. And we, by the way, we saw the Robert Kraft thing happen in real time, right? This was just before. It came out the, had to be noon Eastern time, right? It was coming out. Because we got it about 5 to 10 minutes before, 5 to 10 minutes before we started for the day on Friday. At the conference, 5 or 10 minutes. And they weren't taking phone calls on one of the big stations in Boston because they hold the rights to the Patriots. And that became a thing. That became part of the story. I don't even know how much they were talking about it, but they were instructed not to take phone calls. And the person in charge was sitting at the conference. All right, well, we'll put a bow on our number one. Appreciate the call, Jay. Again, you know, we maybe get Dana O'Neill. She's from The Athletic. She wrote about it. I mean, it's a tough spot for everybody, right? It's a tough spot. Again, I'm no lawyer, kind of. It doesn't have to be, you know, first-degree manslaughter or something like that, but you would think that somebody would be charged with something, but it just seems to be an accident. No alcohol involved. I think he stayed there, Cody, and was directing traffic with his iPhone. The people in the car were tending to the person in the accident and who he hit, and he's getting people to move away so other people don't get hit until the cops came. Yeah. That's what we're told. All right. Back after this, we'll put a bow on hour number one, Cajuns baseball. You know what? Let's talk Cajuns basketball first, all right? Because Cajun baseball is in trouble. Theo Sliman, Mike Murphy, Jeff Palermo, Faust, and Scott D. Kushner. This is Kush on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The game. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz. On Monday morning sports chat. We should probably talk a little bit about this sports talk conference. It was pretty cool. I mean, Colin Cowherd was there. Jim Rome was there. They surprised these guys. Let's see here. There was a Philadelphia program director, a San Diego program director, and a Pittsburgh program director. And they were all criticizing about 4 minutes of Doug Gottlieb audio, right? Constructively, right? They didn't trash him. They, you know, constructively were criticizing him. Guess who walked in, Cody? Doug Gottlieb. That's the one selfie I got. Marcellus Wiley was there. We had him on. I said hello to Ramona Shelbourne. Right, she covers the NBA, and she played softball at Stanford with Jessica Mendoza. That's why I went up to her and said how much I've fallen in love with Cajun softball, who had a weekend. Started out good and then kind of flamed out. But we got some good ideas, so we'll make some changes that I don't think will be any obvious changes. All right, some tweaks to what we're doing here. We're very, you know, thrilled to, you know, do what we're doing here, and can always get better. Can always learn. All right. Again, the Shut Up Dave t-shirts need to be out there. All right. We just need to do that. We just got to figure out where the logo is, and maybe the head gets a little bit smaller or something along those lines. But you want the Sports Chat logo on there and 103.7 The Game logo on there. So we'll figure that out. All right. 706-0111, 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. LSU basketball, Pelicans basketball. If you want to talk Bob Kraft, Origin Boeheim, you're welcome to give us a call on that as well. All right. Quickly, Cajuns basketball. What a difference a game makes. They got out in a hurry against UTA. 46 points in the first half. Never looked back. Cruise to a double-digit victory. That's the ball game they had to have. Out of this Texas two-step, that's the game they had to have. And they did it. Unfortunately, with a chance to kind of move up in the standings and almost solidify that fourth spot, they laid an egg in the first half against Texas State. They scored 23. And off the top of my head, 39 in the second half. That's off the top of my head. Let's see. In the second half against Texas State. That's a problem. I got it right. 39. They were trailing at halftime 35-23. Won the second half 39-29. Looked like they ran out of gas a little bit. Looked like Jakeenan Gant was exhausted. Let's see how many minutes he played. 35. 13 points, but 17 rebounds. Cedric Russell, 5-9 from 3, 9-15 from the floor, 25 points. Trey Wesley didn't score, but played 20 minutes. And they actually took the lead on a Jakeenan Gant alley-oop dunk. First lead of the game. And unfortunately, Texas State's Pearson, Nigel Pearson, hit a fadeaway three-pointer. Stroman was right there. Couldn't have been a tougher shot. UL comes down, misses. Texas State then misses, gets the rebound back, gets the rebound, misses again. And, you know, they took Justin Miller took a three. Missed. Air ball. But I'll tell you, I didn't mind the shot. Were they going to go to overtime? Stroman could have taken it to the hoop, but Gant wasn't down there. He rebounded the other basket. I don't mind it. Maybe Justin Miller hits that three-pointer. It didn't come real close. But he was relatively open, a little bit further back than maybe you'd like, but I don't mind taking my chances with that. I really don't. And so we'll see what happens here. They get the Carolinas in this week. They got a sweep. They still got a chance at that spot. They are a game and a half out of the fourth spot, right behind UT Arlington, tied with UL Monroe and Coastal, and Coastal's coming in. All right, back after this, we'll talk a little golf. Louisiana Classics out at Oakbourne. Theo Sliman up next to Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The game and 103.7thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette, just after 7 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 103.7 The Game. Listen live with the 103.7 The Game mobile app or online at 103.7thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super team.
It's on right now.
How you like me now? 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 Remember the time.
All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz. Monday morning sports chat. We'll get back in the swing of things. Cajuns only actually had one home game last week. The women's ended up losing basketball-wise, but everybody else was on the road. But we got a home Raging Cajuns golf starting today. All right, we're coming live to you from the 237 Roof Studios. If you want to give us a call, 706-0111, 706-0111. Mike Murphy will talk Cajun Soup, 745. We'll get back to LSU and the Pelicans. After we talk a little golf with our buddy Theo Sliman, he's live on the Arco Equipment Hotline. The Raging Cajuns once again hosting the 34th annual Louisiana Classics out at Oakbourne Country Club. Morning, Coach. How are you?
Morning, Dave. We're doing great here. It's a beautiful morning. Got to see the sunrise out here at Oakbourne.
Right.
And, we're excited. Mother Nature has blessed us. If you would have asked me on our way home Tuesday from Houston.
Right.
I didn't even think we would get this tournament in, to be quite honest, with the forecast that we had projected. And, the power of prayer there, it's worked.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You know what it is, Coach, right? You know what it is. You get the good week of the weather of Mardi Gras week, and then Mardi Gras week ends with the bad weather at the end. That's how it works.
Yeah, and that'll be unfortunate for Mardi Gras. Yeah, yeah. I'm really not a fan of purple, gold, and green.
No. All right, so you had a little tournament washed out. How's the season been going? Give us an update.
Yeah, we've kind of gotten off to a slow start, not what we were anticipating, and no excuses for the bruises, but you know, two tournaments out the gates, rain shortened, is a little, you know, misfortunate, because the guys, you could see in their eyes the determination that they were cultivating going into those final rounds, and it is what it is, and the message there was we need to take care of business right out the gates, not in the final round. But, you know, the message to these guys has been, you know, it's time. It's time to start expecting more out of ourselves. And it's time to start expecting the hard work that we're putting in. They're busting their humps. All these athletes on campus are busting their humps. But, you know, I told our guys, I said, you know, when the normal student is sleeping in, you're working out. When the normal student is out on the strip, you're in study hall. You're busting your butts. It's time to start expecting some rewards from what you're doing.
All right. So who are some of the top teams that are here with you this week? Usually you bring in the collection. Although I think we're going to go online and guilt trip. I mean, obviously Dave Pizzino, UConn, is obviously intimidated by the Cajuns, or else he would come down here.
Yeah, he didn't fire back on your Twitter that you sent out to him. I don't know. I don't know why.
I mean, obviously he's scared.
No, I don't think he should.
Well, that's what we're going to say.
He would love to come see his buddy that he worked for, Mike Small, here, who's
right
in the lineup. Yep, he worked for Illinois for a while, and they've been a fixture in the lineup. We're going to be paired. The Cajuns, we're doing something a little different. We have 87 players versus the 84 players that we typically have. So instead of having a mess of threesomes out there, we're paired in foursomes this year with 22 groups on the golf course. Hopefully the pace of play will funnel, you know, smoothly. But the Cajuns will be paired with Kent State, Illinois. Illinois is ranked at top 25 in the country. Kent State is on the bubble of top 50, and then we have North Texas and us. So it'll be a very competitive pairing, a very great opportunity for our boys to go toe-to-toe with the perennial powerhouse in golf. With the Fighting Illini, who, like I said, they've been a fixture in our tournament over the last decade, and looking forward to it.
All right, so just looking at last year's scores, there seems to be a huge separation. A&M won the tournament at 29 under par. Illinois was second at 21. Then even Kent State, who had a good tournament, finished at minus 13. The Cajuns finished tied for 11th plus 10. Where, I mean, do you guys have a projection? Like, you know, I know Bob Marlin puts goals up there to hold team to this, get this, and, you know, win in three-pointers, have less turnovers, hold in the shooting. How do you do that on the golf course?
Well, we've set it up. My assistant and I are responsible for course setup. And to be honest, this year we've got a little aggressive. We included the team. We brought the boys in, let them have a little ownership, talked about some pin placements. And they are. You should see, we stretched it out this year a little bit longer than normal, and we've played, we've tucked some pins where, you know, this dormant winter, although the grass is absolutely popping and green, hats off to Jason Barra and his staff, this course superintendent here, the golf course is in beautiful shape. But with the cold temperatures, these greens get a little slick, and with some tucked pins and slick greens, and the wind's going to probably be up to about 15 out the east, so it's going to be a pretty good challenge. I would still anticipate, you know, some low scores, but I think what we'll see is a little bit tighter of a leaderboard. Hopefully,
has UL ever won the Louisiana Classics?
We have. We've won. It's been years ago. 93 and 94. We were back to back champions, and then in the last decade, we were runner up back in 09. So. That's on the boys know this. They trust me. We sent a text out early in the week, and had a little quiz on that, and they fired back really quick with some history that they know of, and it is certainly on their minds.
Were you on the 93-94 team? Was that a Perks team? Who was on that team?
That was Perksy.
Okay.
Perksy and that crew, Chris Pop, local teacher here. Yep. Yeah, so that I'm not that old. there, Dave.
We're talking to Theo Sliman, Raging Cajuns Golf, hosting Louisiana Classics out at Oakbourne. All right, so who are you looking towards? All right, because, I mean, I think the freshmen's played well this year. Who are you looking to have a big weekend? I mean, I know, you know, you're not sly about it, not to have a pun on word. You know, you come out and say who needs to have a big week. I mean, and you don't want to put pressure on guys, but you're like, who are you looking towards to lead this crew this weekend for the Cajuns? Or this week?
Yeah, three key players for us this week in the lineup, and we'll start with Charlie Flynn, freshman out of Shreveport. He's put himself this semester so far in some good positions. But he hasn't closed any of his rounds. He's really struggled closing some rounds. And we've talked and have a game plan with that. And I want to see him implement that game plan of sticking to the process. You know, the next guy is Micah Gula, New Iberia product. He is a powerful player. He is a very mature player. He didn't get in the lineup much in the fall. However, he's been in the lineup here, and he's showing some really good stuff. And really looking forward to seeing him at home. His brother played for the Cajuns as well. So when you slice that vein open, the vermilion and white certainly flows out of it. And then the next guy, we have a very consistent player, but he hasn't quite gotten the under par rounds that we would anticipate from him. And that's Hudson Dubinsky. He loves this golf course. Hudson's a freshman out of Columbia, Missouri. He qualified for the U.S. Junior here back in high school, the United States Junior. Loves this golf course. He plays this golf course very well, and really looking to see him put together not only consistency, which he does very well, but we want to see it just a little bit lower. We want to see some scores out of him in the red figures, and he's more than capable.
Can Charlie take a five-hour energy? Is that legal? Is there anything in there that you can't have? Can he take that at the turn? Is that the problem?
No, it's more of a mind thing. You know, it's the youngness, you know, no doubt. It's the youngness, getting ahead of yourself, thinking of outcomes rather than thinking of process.
Right, but, right. That's me, yes. I'm one under par after two holes, and all of a sudden I find myself 10 over at the turn. Yeah, that's Schultz. Yeah.
But he's a great young man, and he's here to learn. He knows that, and he's given us a tremendous effort, so can't ask for more out of these guys.
All right. Any pressure on you coaching Hudson or anything?
No, I think there's pressure on coaching all these young men.
Right,
we have Precious Cargo.
Right.
We have Precious Cargo with all 10 of them.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Yeah. All right. I appreciate it, Coach. We'll see you out there.
All right, Chelsea. Look, for the fans listening, please come out. It's 36 holes. There's no admission charge. In fact, they'll have a nice Cajun-style pot of jambalaya brewing on the ninth green. Dan McDonald and Gerald Broussard are going to be doing live commentary starting at 9 o'clock. You can log on to RagingCajuns.com and watch live golf. It's a unique feature here in our event. Really, really proud of that. So please, if fans want to come out, get out the office for a little bit. And if you can't and you're stuck in the office, go ahead and turn that computer on and give us a hit on RagingCajuns.com.
I appreciate it, Coach. Best of luck. Thanks so much.
Hey, Dave, thanks for your support as well.
You bet. Hudson, Cody. At least, I don't know, you know. I don't keep totally updated on this. But has been dating a Maggard daughter. That's where the pressure on Theo comes in. They're all Precious Cargo, but only one guy on his team is dating the AD's daughter. I'm just, you know, there's a little bit of pressure that comes with that. Just a little bit, right? A little bit more tense. Just a little, right? Just a little bit.
Yeah. I can't see why.
Why would that be?
I don't understand.
All right, Mike Murphy coming up 7:45. Jeff Palermo, 8 o'clock. Fausti, 8:32. We'll talk Pelicans with Scott D. Kushner. This is Kush. Let's reset when we come back. Is LSU a Final Four team on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7? The Game. All right, I'm a subscriber to The Athletic Daily, and I told you this. If you are just joining us, this email came in just as we were ending our first segment, or maybe beginning our second one, 6:22 a.m., Monday, February 25th, 2019, The Athletic Daily top story. If you're still doubting LSU, reconsider. An OT win over the Vols is another statement made. Without Trey Waters, their point guard, and with Naz Reid getting one. That's an impressive victory. At Dave 1037 the game or at 1037 the game. Shut up, Dave. Poll question. Whoop. Now I said at 1037 the game, so that's what I typed. Let's see what the poll question results are. With the LSU basketball team's win over Tennessee, has Will Wade raised the Tigers' expectation of Final Four or bust? 32% say yes. 44% say no. 24% telling me to shut up. I think Chico's not an LSU fan, so he's, you know, but I think Chico in general just tells me to just to do that in general. That's his general sentiment. Again, I think that's what they are. All right. I mean, the same is going to be said for, you know, Gonzaga, Virginia. What about Houston? Isn't Houston in the same boat? Houston could be undefeated right now. A questionable foul called on Corey Davis at the end of the ball game that they lost, which would have been either the tying or go-ahead hoop, and they called it a charge instead of a block. Houston's 26-1. One of those 26 is over LSU. Although if there was another couple minutes in that ball game, LSU may have come back and won it. But we'll see what Duke is without Zion. They played better against Syracuse in the second half. There's like two guys carrying him in the second half. Kentucky has improved. Carolina looks good. Michigan looks good. Tennessee seems to be going in the wrong direction. They'll get Kentucky at home. You got Texas Tech. I really haven't seen Texas Tech at all. But that's that Little Rock coach, right? He's 22-5. Matt Painter always, you know, Purdue. You know, when you get Purdue, Wisconsin, Virginia, here's the problem with that, all right? As much as defense wins championships, you got to be able to score. And the reason that those teams, when Wisconsin was good and going to a Final Four, they could put up a bunch of points. They put up a bunch of points. It wasn't just the defense. They put up a bunch of points. Virginia always keeps you in it. Virginia's always in a spot where the other team can play good for 3 minutes and all of a sudden win a ball game. Or in the Syracuse's, you know, situation, like 8 minutes. I mean, Syracuse wasn't doing anything a couple years ago against Virginia, and all of a sudden they started pressing, and Virginia couldn't get out of their own way. I think LSU is setting themselves up for a Final Four run. Again, I'll see more of these teams as the, you know, I probably should see, I think Carolina's playing Syracuse, so I'll see them. Probably should have seen them already. But I really didn't watch this Carolina-Duke game. But we'll see more. Tennessee's going in the wrong direction, although they're pretty good. Tennessee's pretty good. All right. Kentucky's improved, despite their loss a little bit ago to LSU. You know, without the dominating player that they've always had, like Will Wade said, we're not playing John Wall. We're not playing Carl Anthony Towns. You want to throw in Anthony Davis, they're not playing them. And again, Virginia always seems to be offensively challenged. I remember, who was it, Cody? When Syracuse won the national championship, I think it was Oklahoma State, as it turns out. They're a good basketball team, but I wasn't worried about playing them. The only team I was actually worried about playing back then was Kansas. That was it. And so Oklahoma State, you know, goes on this run in the second round in the first half. Carmelo was in foul trouble, and I think McNamara had a bloody lip or bloody nose. And Syracuse was in trouble, but they came back because Oklahoma State can't score. And at Syracuse, if they got like 65 points, we're going to win the basketball game. Because they can't score. So when Duke starts hitting three-pointers to go along with their inside game, if Zion is there, they're really tough to beat. Right? And a little cheesy, Cody, right? I'm not paying for the Wi-Fi on the airline. And one time I did it, it stunk. So I was kind of watching over someone's shoulder. But Syracuse got it down to either a 1 or 2 point game. And someone hit a bomb three-pointer. You could see that Duke was kind of discombobulated, and they kind of shut up a heave and got the three-pointer. So it's offensively challenged teams like Virginia, like Wisconsin, that you can beat. You know, when these other teams get going, though, like Gonzaga, although I would take them on. You know, let's just see if LSU can avoid Duke. That's the only team I want them to avoid. You know they'll be ready for Houston. I guess they could get matched up against Kentucky. It used to be the point where you're not supposed to play one of those teams until, like, the Elite Eight, but that may be out the door. That may be out the door. 706-0111, 706-0111. LSU's 14th in the net. So that's still a top four seed. Let's see what they are. RPI. Because they were, you know, because they lost, unfortunately, the loss to Florida is killing them. Again, the RPI doesn't matter, as it turns out, unfortunately. But these things are updated. They're 11. Buffalo is 9 in the RPI. But Duke is number 1 in the RPI, then Kansas, Virginia. Houston's 4. They're 4 in the net as well. Gonzaga is number 1 in the net, 5th in RPI. Carolina, Kentucky, Michigan State, Buffalo, Purdue, LSU, who is now one spot ahead of Tennessee. And remember, Tennessee's two losses are both on lately are both on the road at Kentucky, at LSU. LSU just lost at home to Florida. Should we do that? A shut up, Dave poll question, Cody? Is that a good one? I don't know how we can say this in 180 characters or 240 characters. Is the LSU win over Tennessee better than LSU's loss against Florida is bad? Does that make sense? You know what I'm trying to say?
Is there more good out of the win over Tennessee than there is bad to the loss to Florida?
Right.
You know, I understand what you're saying.
In that one, though, I think it's Florida, unfortunately. That's a bad loss. If you lose at Florida, okay. Can't lose at home. You can't lose at home to Florida.
And if Tennessee would have stayed, you know, maybe unbeaten, nice run there, number one in the country still when they come in, maybe that changes things a little bit. But Tennessee had lost, I don't know how many days, but not that many days prior to that.
Well, the week before.
Or the week before.
The week before. They were number one when they lost to Kentucky, right?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But if Tennessee would win that game, then maybe you could argue there was more good than bad from Florida. But
who was the other team that Tennessee lost to? Let's see it here.
I talked to a man in the grocery store. He was all mad, and he brought it up because I didn't. He was mad because he said, I forget the terminology.
It was in Gonzaga, right? Didn't they beat Gonzaga?
No, it was. I think it was an SEC team, I think. You're talking about this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was an SEC team, unless I'm just like way off base here.
I don't think so. No, not SEC. Oh, Kansas.
That'll
87-81.
That'll happen to you.
In OT.
Yeah, that'll. That.
It looks like it was in Kansas City, too. NIT season tip-off, maybe in New York or something like that. That's what the Cajuns were supposed to be part of. Cajuns gave Tennessee a run for their money in the first half. In fact, the Cajuns gave, well, maybe it was the Kansas Jayhawks. They gave the Jayhawks a run for their money in Lawrence. And I think Bob's right. You know, does anybody have two wins against top five teams? I would think the answer is no right now. But that doesn't excuse a loss against Florida. Again, the loss to Florida, I think, is worse than the Tennessee win is better. If the loss was at Florida, then I'd reverse my course. Can you put that in a shut up, Dave poll question, Cody? Are you figuring that one out? Let's see what the Twitter poll question is now. With the win over Tennessee, has Will Wade raised the Tigers' expectations to Final Four or bust? 46% say no. 31% say yes. It's sort of staying even there. 23% tell me to shut up. All right. Will be interesting to see how this goes. All right. We get A&M tomorrow and then Bama on Saturday. Only 2 weekends left before the tournament. All right. We'll be back. We got Coach Mike Murphy talking Cajuns basketball. Let's talk Cajuns baseball when we come back. Oh, goodness. I mean, that's that's really it. Back after this, 103.7 The Game. All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz. On a Monday morning sports chat, we'll talk Cajuns hoops with Mike Murphy coming up here at 7:45. Jeff Palermo, LSU baseball and basketball. A little Fausty will put a bow on it, although we do have Scott Kushner afterwards to talk Pelicans. 706-0111, 706-0111 on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. We are live from the 237 Roof Studios. Cajuns baseball in trouble? Kind of looks that way. It looks that way. Cajuns baseball is in trouble. It may be big trouble. You want overreaction Monday? Cody, it's not even March. Not even March. I'm going to tell you right now, the only way the Cajuns are making the NCAA tournament is winning the Sunbelt Conference tournament. The team does not have timely hitting. The bullpen is bad, and the defense could be worse. Did you see some of these games, Cody? Did you see this game?
I saw scores, but I didn't watch any of it.
Cajuns lose 9-8. Second game of doubleheader. You want to listen to some of these pitchers' lines? Dalton Horton. He threw 6 shutout innings, by the way. 6 shutout innings.
I mean, I like that.
Yeah, you do. 2 hits, 2 runs, unearned, by the way. They came in the 7th.
In the 7th, obviously. Yeah, gotcha.
He did walk 6, which is a problem. Struck out 1. Blake Schultz, no relation. Did not get anybody out. Gave up 2 unearned runs.
So that's not being able to close that door.
That's 4 so far. Yeah. That's 4 runs, not 1 earned. All right. Grant Cox, 2/3 of an inning, 2 hits, 1 run, unearned. That's 5. All right, Jack Burke did get hit a little bit, a lot actually. 2/3 of an inning, 3 runs, all earned on 3 hits. All right. Brandon,
That was a fresh inning, Jack Burke, by the time when he came in, or did he?
No, it doesn't appear so.
Okay.
He ended one inning and started the next.
Oh, so that was.
He got out of the 7th.
Gotcha.
Brandon Young, 1 inning. 2 hits, 1 unearned run. 6 unearned runs out of 9 in the last 3 innings. It was a 6-0 Cajuns lead. 6-0 Cajuns lead in game 2 of a doubleheader. Heading into the bottom half of the 7th inning. 6-0. They lose 9-8. They actually give up the 5 runs in the 7th to make it a 6-5 ball game. They score 2 in the 8th. They come back with 2 in the 8th. Make it 8-5. They got a little cushion. 3 runs in the bottom half of the 8th tied up in the 9th. Wasn't any better in game number 1, by the way. Cajuns leading this one 5-1. Sam Houston scores 3 in the 7th inning. Make it 5-4. Go to the 9th. 3-run bomb. Lose 7-5. So what we're going to hear from Robe today is we're one out away from getting out of it, not giving up 5 runs. Right. Couldn't finish it off against Sam Houston State. The thing is, the record says 1-6. 1-6. Didn't La Tech, 1-10. I mean, I guess hashtag there's a bright side. They didn't lose in their final at bat on Sunday. 9-2 to Sam Houston State. So how many times did they lose? Cody, this is amazing. They are 1-6. How many times did they lose in the final at bat?
That number sounds like from this past weekend, it gets worse if you count the final 2. If you count right. The 8th and 9th inning, right. You can add 2 more to that.
In the final at bat, they lost to Texas in the 10th. That's one, mm-hmm. Right? They came up just short against Texas in game 2, but that's not in the final at bat. They were losing 6-4 going into the 9th inning. So Texas is 1, all right? They lost to La Tech in the final at bat. That's two. And they lost to Sam Houston State twice in the final at bat. That's three and four. They've played seven games. They've lost in their final at bat four times. Again, you don't want to go too much over the deep end, off the deep end. But it's a bad start for Cajuns baseball. All right, they do get Southeastern tomorrow. And then Maryland here at home finally. That's five straight on the road. And you get Maryland for a three-game homestand, and do they need it? It's all right. I will say, hashtag, there's a bright side. All right. Hansa Monica has started to hit a little bit. Did he do anything yesterday? 0 for 4 yesterday. But in the first game of the doubleheader, where they gave up a three-run home run, 3 for 5 with an RBI. And then in the 9-8 loss, 3 for 4 with four runs driven in and three runs scored.
That's productive.
Well, yeah. That's pretty good. All right. So there's a hashtag, there's a bright side. But they are in, I think the official term is a deep doo-doo. I think that's the technical term for it. All right.
I was going to go with, like, the weeds or something like that. No, we're going
to. Let's go out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Who you got, Cody?
Blue is on the line.
Hey, Blue, good morning.
How you doing, man?
I'm good.
I was just telling them, you don't know how good you got it until y'all not there no more.
Yeah.
Glad y'all back, and I hope y'all stay back for a long time.
Well, thank you so much. I heard the girls did fine. I heard the ladies. I keep on saying girls. Again, that's more of an age thing. All right, they're just under 30. I heard Emily and Shakira did fine. But go ahead.
And I wanted to know, since you were talking baseball, LSU,
yeah,
how good do you think they are or how good they're going to be? Because really, they didn't play nobody yet.
They struggle
winning some of those games.
The bullpen's a little bit iffy, right? The bullpen, they're struggling to win. I mean, Sunday, that's a nice win. But the bullpen is having a little bit of trouble throwing strikes so far. Zach Hess had a better outing, right? Marceau pitched okay, I think. But they're having a little trouble the underbelly. But that's the underbelly of any team almost anywhere, right? Except maybe the Yankees.
Another thing, jumping to basketball real quick.
Sure.
How long has it been since you've seen the PMAC rocking like it was Saturday?
Well, that was outstanding, right? Wasn't it rocking a couple of Saturdays ago? It was sold out, but that was awesome. And they lost, unfortunately, a couple weekends ago. But, you know, that's a lot of fun. I mean, I've been telling people about college basketball around here for a long time. It was explained to me they got to pick and choose between football and baseball. And, you know, basketball kind of gets left out. But it was a lot of fun. And Will Wade's got him booting him up and everything along those lines. You know, what do you think? You think they're a Final Four team, Blue?
Oh, yes, sir. And I was wondering, the games they have left, you think they'll win them all, or are they going to stumble on one or two of them?
No, I don't think so. I think they're going to win all of them. That Florida game would have gotten me worried, but they just lost to Florida, so they'll be focused for that one. And there's no look ahead here, right? We don't have a big game. There's no Kentucky coming in. There's no Tennessee. They got all these teams that are not very good. Right? And so you're going to take the best shot from them because, again, that game that Florida has, that's going to be their last great game of the year probably. They may not play. They may not even make the NIT. So, that's the only one I'm a little bit concerned of. But A&M, Alabama, it's Florida and Vanderbilt. So, no, they're going to finish off. I think they're going to be regular season champs. Tie for first.
One more quick thing.
Sure.
I know after winning Saturday, Will Wade's the coach of the year now.
I'm going to have to go up against a guy from Oklahoma. That's about it. Or from Houston.
He beat Tennessee and Kentucky, and I don't know who could have did that.
All right, except Houston beat LSU, and they've only lost once.
Yes, sir. Well, y'all have a good day.
I appreciate it, Blue. But those are it probably, right? Those are your two coaches of the year.
Right.
Why can't I think of his name? Unfortunately, he's about as shady as it gets, though. That's who's going to be the coach of the year, probably. The Buffalo coach could get one.
Kelvin Sampson.
There you go. The Buffalo coach is going to get some votes.
But, I mean, to be, even for Will Wade, any coach,
right,
to be in that race that, you know,
right,
if we're going to call it a head-to-head at this point between Sampson and Will Wade, then, I mean, just to be in that talk. That's,
yes.
I mean, just
absolutely.
Like Coach O. I mean, I think, you know, yeah, granted, if there were five guys in talk for Coach of the Year for football, right, he may have been that fifth guy. But, I mean, just to be in that conversation, I mean, you know, shout out to you. That's a hell of a season.
Yeah, absolutely. Was LSU even in preseason top 25?
They were number 22.
Oh, 23.
Or 23, yep. There you go.
23. Was Houston? Houston was not.
That LSU and Houston game, I think Houston was very, if they weren't ranked at the time, they were like receiving votes or something like that, or that may have been.
I'd have to go see.
Yeah, I'd have to go see if that was a ranked game. I remember watching that game and being like, dang, because that, right. I mean, that was
that's a
game
nice
that,
win on the road. Yeah.
It's one, you know, so it's one of those.
Would have been.
Right.
Would have been.
Because
that
place
right now,
rocking.
That's a good loss, as it turns out.
Right. Right? I feel like if that game was at the PBAC, LSU maybe.
Very well could game, have. That's right. Exactly right.
Potato, all potato.
All right. Let's take a timeout. We'll talk a little Cajuns basketball. They got the win that they needed. Almost escaped Saturday with a win over Texas State. Mike Murphy joins us next. Stay tuned on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The game. All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a Monday morning sports chat. Jeff Palermo going to join us after 8 o'clock, talk LSU. We got a new Twitter poll question up. Are the Cajuns baseball team in trouble after 1-6 start? Close losses, but losses nonetheless. Cajuns basketball, though, split. Two ball games on the road. I think they got the win that they needed against UTA, had a chance to sneak out of San Marcos with a win, come up short. Let's go out to the Arco Equipment Hotline. Mike Murphy, Director of Operations, joins us. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
I'm good, David. Good morning.
All right, what was that? Again, I'm in L.A., so I was, you know, behind 3 hours. What was up with that quick start against UTA? 46 points in the first half.
Yeah, well, we shot the ball real well. You know, you make shots, score points. And we were able to do that in a very efficient manner, and it came from lots of spots on the floor. But we were really good from the three-point line in the first half. Several guys made a three. Jericus Davis had a really good first half for us. And I thought defensively also we did a really good job in taking away what UTA wanted to do. We just shot the ball really well. And we got scoring from multiple positions, different guys. And when you do that, you're going to have a good start. When you have a good start for us, it becomes a momentum thing, and we were able to carry that through the entire first half.
Yeah, and didn't really get challenged in the second half. I don't think it got under 10 the entire second half, right?
No, yeah, we ended up, they made a three late, and that made it a 12-point game. But
right.
We were up by 30 at one point in the first half, and I think the second half, we were always around that 18, 20, 22 mark.
Yeah.
We knew they were going to make a little bit of a run, but it was really never in doubt.
I thought at the 7-minute mark is when some guys started to sit down, so. That's what it looked like.
Correct,
to me.
Correct, yes.
We're talking Director of Operations for the Raging Cajuns basketball team, Mike Murphy. All right, so then what happens? Played a little bit earlier of a ball game in San Marcos, and compared to the 46 points you scored in the first half against UTA, only come up with 23 points and did not shoot the ball well in the first half against Texas State.
No, I mean, just completely opposite of what happened against UTA. Texas State, we just couldn't find the basket. I thought we got some really good looks. I thought we did a pretty good job defensively, keeping ourselves in the basketball game, considering how poorly we were shooting the basketball in the first half. And, you know, we just wanted to hang on and give ourselves a chance. We knew we'd make a little bit of a run in the second half. Texas State usually plays very slow, very methodically. They go deep into the shot clock. They're playing a little quicker than usual, which is a little bit outside of what they've done in the past. But still, it's not a really up and down type game, and we just wanted to keep it somewhat within a reasonable score in the first half. I think we're down by 10 or 12, something like that. And we've been there before with them actually, and we knew we'd make a run in the second half. And it wasn't we made a run; it was Cedric Russell made a run
right.
in the second half. And I mean, there was a 10 to 12 minute stretch there where he was just unstoppable. He scored 25 points, a career high. And the thing I really appreciated that Cedric was doing is he was taking the ball to the basket. He just wasn't settling for his three-point shot. And he shot the ball fairly well from the three-point line, came up with some big shots. But he was taking the ball to the basket, getting contact and finishing. And I was really impressed by that.
I really only saw the end of it. Was Jakeen a little winded? He looked a little tired.
Yeah, I think he might have been a little bit, but you know, that you got to find a way to work through that.
Right.
It was a pretty physical basketball game, which is not unusual when you play Texas State.
Sure.
And but I was really impressed with Cedric. I mean, he was something else for a 10 or 12 minute stretch. He was by far the best guy on the floor, and there were some pretty good players on the floor.
All right, you do take a lead late on an alley-oop to Gant. You get a one-point lead. Pearson hits a ridiculous three-pointer with Stroman in his face. You miss coming back down, and then Texas State misses, gets the rebound, misses again. Any thought about calling a timeout there? And, by the way, I like the idea of not calling a timeout.
No, and I'll tell you why. And I thought Coach did a really good job here because Stroman had the ball in his hands already.
Right.
So that's who you want to have the ball anyway. So why call a timeout? Give themselves a chance to set their defense, deny Stroman the ball, all right? And really what you want to do there is take that thing to the basket. I thought he could have done that.
Right.
And put the onus on the officials. I thought Marcus, you know, he's got the strength and the ability to finish at the basket in contact. Everybody says, "Well, go get Russell the ball." Well, two guys were on Russell, so he wasn't getting the ball.
Right.
And
right.
The guy we wanted to have the ball already had the ball. So why call a timeout?
Right.
And let them set their defense to get him, you know, deny him the basketball, and then you're trying to do something else. But you know, it didn't work out. It was a heck of a comeback. It was senior night. It was their last home game of the season.
Mm.
They've had a very good year.
Right.
Which I think is a byproduct of their early season scheduling. It was a tough loss, but we got to move on.
So they're going on either a 3 or 4 game road trip. But I'm going to tell you right now, Mike, I don't mind the last shot. I know it fell well short, but we've seen Justin Miller hit a three. He was open, and you know, you know, he makes it. You escape with a victory instead of having to, you know, play another 5 minutes. I really don't mind going for the victory there. Although I do understand what you're saying. Why doesn't Marcus take it to the hoop? You got a good shot.
No, we did. That's what, well, like I said, calling the timeout, if we had called a timeout, we couldn't have gotten a much better scenario
right.
than we had.
You're right.
And everyone says, well, you could have got Russell the ball. I doubt it. They would have put two guys on Russell.
Sure.
Russell wasn't going to get the ball.
Right.
Right. So, like I said, we had the guy we wanted with the ball, Marcus Stroman.
Right.
And he's really good at finding guys. He's good at finishing at the basket. And at the end, we did get a good look at the basket. It just didn't go in.
All right. Who's up first? Coastal? Who do you got?
Coastal Carolina, we got Coastal Carolina on Thursday, App State on Sunday at 1:30.
Oh.
The Coastal game is I can't tell you how important this game is for us.
Oh,
we
yeah.
need all the support we can get from the Cajun fans. I think we're tied with them. There's a log jam for 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th.
Correct.
And it's going to go a long way in determining where we play and who we play.
Yep.
After the game on Thursday.
I still think if you go 4-2, and so far you got the right win against UTA, you go 4-2 last week, this week, and next week. You guys are going to get a 3 or 4 seed.
Yeah, I think we need to go 4-4, but right now we're just trying to go 1-0 against Coastal.
Right, yeah. All right. Thanks, Coach Speak. Thank you so much.
Well, no, but I mean, seriously, because the tiebreakers are so convoluted with this deal, you might be better off having a three-way tie with somebody instead of a two-way. And that's what I'm saying, Dave.
Right.
You're going to have to be an MIT grad to figure this thing out.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll leave that to Cody. He's married. He's smarter than I am.
Oh.
All right. Still married,
some of
by the way.
Come down the flip of a coin.
Are we on day 10, Cody? What day are we on? 9? Remember, you got to get to the 72 for the Kardashian anniversary. That's the first big milestone, the Kardashian anniversary.
Well, just give it time.
All right. Here's the thing. Cody had to count. He went to the calendar and he counted. All right, we will see you at the Cajun Dome. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, bye-bye. All right, let's check that out again here. Where are we here? Standings. Again, they are tied for 5th, I believe, with ULM and Coastal. And again, boy, they had a chance to sneak out of there with that win. That would have been a huge win if they beat Texas State. Because they would be 8-6 right now, a half a game behind UTA. And 2 behind Georgia Southern, 2 behind Georgia State. And as it turns out, 2 behind Texas State. But they are tied with ULM, tied with Coastal. And so we'll see. We will have to get in what the tiebreakers are. That's going to hurt my head, isn't it, Cody? We're going to call the league. Let's see if we can come up with this. They actually have the tiebreakers online. All right, we'll be back after this. Jeff Palermo talking LSU baseball and basketball on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 8 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets. Here we go.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super team.
It's on right now.
All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, Monday Morning Sports Chat, Bousty coming up 8:32. We'll talk to Scott D. Kushner and what a disaster the Pelicans are. Although the rest of the team didn't get the memo, as Cody says, I guess in wrestling, they went into business for themselves after Anthony Davis is going to sit down and not play against the Lakers. How shady is that? Let's go out to the Arco Equipment Hotline as we're live in the 237 Roof Studios. Talk a little LSU with Jeff Palermo. Jeffrey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Dave. How about yourself?
We're doing very well. Back from Los Angeles, the other L.A. Has Will Wade raised the expectations of this LSU basketball team? Are they Final Four or bust?
I wouldn't say Final Four or bust. I think most people recognize how difficult it is to get there. But Sweet 16 or bust, I would say. I mean, it would be disappointing if this team got bounced out and round one or round two, I guess, depending on what the matchup is. But it was a tremendous effort on Saturday, no doubt about it, to not have Tremont Waters out there and Naz Reid be ineffective as he was and still pull it out. But like Coach Will Wade said in the post-game press conference, they got good players all the way around on this team. And Javonte Smart showed that. You forget that. Now, granted, Louisiana high school basketball doesn't have as many studs as Louisiana football, high school football does, but you're talking about the guy who was the Gatorade or Mr. Basketball award winner three straight years in a row in Javonte Smart. So he's a good player. And I saw Javonte Smart play half a dozen times or so at Scotlandville, and that performance reminded me a lot of what he could do when he was at Scotlandville. Is clear out the way, he can get to the rim, he can make baskets, he's clutch. I mean, he's hit some big three-pointers in overtime for this team during the year. So what a great backup to Tremont Waters. What a great sixth man to this team. And he came up big. And as Coach Will Wade said, it's not going to look as pretty as what Tremont Waters does, but he's going to get the job done, and he certainly did do that on Saturday.
Talking to Jeff Palermo from Tiger Rag, we'll play that after the ball game on Tuesday, just like we did last week, about the undisclosed illness, right? That kind of seemed a little bit odd. I know there's HIPAA laws and you have to keep the privacy, but couldn't they just come out and said he had the flu? Because once you go to the post game and said, well, we gave him IVs, the cat's out of the bag, right? Why do you let that go on before the game? Just he had the flu.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why we termed it undisclosed illness. Yeah, I mean, most people will say he's got the flu, strep throat. I don't know what it might be. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows why they did it that way? But he's expected to play Tuesday. Coach Wade said afterwards that he's day-to-day. So we'll see if he's healthy against Texas A&M on Tuesday. I would think winning that game without him is a big confidence booster for this team. I mean, they couldn't have done it on the road. I think playing at home really helped. The home crowd really kept them in that game throughout, even though it was – the game got off to a rough start, obviously. You get the news about Tremont Waters, and then Naz Reid picks up a foul, and then he picks up another foul, and he's out of the ball game 4 minutes into the contest. So it got off to a rough start, but, you know, Skylar Mays kind of kept him in there in the first half, and then Javonte Smart played well, and they got some big buckets from Cavell, Bigby Williams, Darius Days. Darius Days had a big 3-pointer. You know, got fouled on a three-pointer. I mean, they just made some key buckets. Some guys made some plays, and they somehow pulled it out. I'm sure Rick Barnes in Tennessee is trying to figure out how did we
not
win that game with Tremont Waters not out on the floor.
That's right. I mean, we saw, again, they didn't know they were going to have Tremont Waters up until after the walkthrough Saturday morning. That's a lot like, you know, Duke losing Zion, and you saw how they fell apart. You saw how they fell apart with no Trey Jones and Cam Reddish against Syracuse the first time around. When Krzyzewski had 3 days to plan it, you know, all right, we can, you know, what are you guys going to do? Just fade like Flowers? And you know, he may not come back for the whole season. So you guys better step up. In this case, plan A didn't work because Waters didn't play. Plan B didn't work because Naj Reid was ineffective and got into foul trouble. And then when he came back, played pretty good defense, got some rebounds, but still nothing offensively. So they went to plan C, and that was drive to the bucket. Jeff, I got in the car. I was out in Los Angeles. I got in the car, and LSU was down 64-57, and Tennessee had the ball. I get out of the car and hear a top-of-the-hour update, and it's down by one. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, and that was one really Javonte started really getting going at that point. And Tennessee could not stop him from getting to the basket. I mean, that was the impressive thing. There were trips down that you knew exactly what happened. You started seeing the floor spread, and Tennessee couldn't keep him in front of them. And then defensively, LSU got some stops on the other end. And it was an impressive victory, another marquee win for this program. And as Coach Will Wade would say, it's just more evidence that this team, this program, is on its way. Still got a ways to go. I mean, we still got to see how this team reacts in an NCAA tournament, which is a completely different environment. Here we go, four games left, three-way tie for first place. Tennessee and Kentucky play each other Saturday. Right. LSU, the next three out of four, or the last three out of four, against teams with losing records in the SEC. So, you don't want to say LSU kind of controls its own destiny, but they're once again in a very good spot to possibly win the conference after getting the win over Tennessee.
Get a two or three seed. They could have been playing for a one seed if they didn't lose to Florida. Get a two or three seed in not Duke's bracket, and they could be in very good shape. We're talking to Jeff Palermo from Tiger Rag Radio Tuesday, 6 p.m. here at 103.7 The Game. Let's look at baseball. Off to a pretty solid start. Tough to do better than 7-0. I know the bullpen's been a little bit shaky and the competition hasn't been all that great. So what are you seeing so far that you like from LSU and any concerns that you may have moving forward?
Well, I like the fact that they're hitting. I mean, they're scoring a bunch of runs. They've been able to show the ability to, when it's a close game, pull it out at the end. They've had a couple of those. Antoine Duplantis is hitting the ball well. Josh Smith is kind of just, I want to say he's crushing it, but he's just kind of finding open spaces in the field. And, you know, I think eventually he'll start hitting the ball with a little bit more authority.
Right.
Daniel Cabrera's got three home runs already. The guy just looks like an absolute stud hitting from the left side. You know, they haven't – the first base is going to be an issue. I mean, all those guys have come in and shown that they can hit, but none of them can show they can defend that or play the field at first base. They've all had kind of their lapses there. So I think that's going to be an issue to watch, and we'll see how that kind of sorts itself out during the course of the season. Some of the guys out of the bullpen didn't pitch well. I mean, Zach Hess pitched better on Friday. I still don't think that was elite stuff that you saw.
Right.
I don't know if that was necessarily Friday night stuff. I think he took advantage of playing Bryant. He got away with some stuff. But, it was better than what it was in the opening night. So that's a positive sign for him. Jaden Hill looks really terrific. Two really good back-to-back starts for him. We'll see Eric Walker pitch on Tuesday. Mikhail Hilliard is supposed to pitch maybe an inning somewhere down the line here with five games coming up this week. So the pitching staff is still kind of evolving at this point, but you can tell they got the pieces in place to be obviously really good and make a long run in Omaha.
Yeah, you ain't kidding with hitting. I mean, Josh Smith, 14 out of 27. Even I can do that math. That's better than 500. Duplantis already has 18 runs batted in.
Three home runs for him too.
Career high.
Career high. Yeah, I don't. You know, that was one of the things why he's been such a great college ball player, but didn't get drafted high because defensively he's good, but he's not elite. And he doesn't hit home runs. So who knows? Maybe he kind of changed the swing a little bit, got a little bit more of a launch angle to it, and he's been able to hit three out. I don't know. But if he's able to add that to his game, he'll be a top 10 pick for sure, meaning in the first 10 rounds, for sure, when the Major League Baseball draft comes around. So I don't know. He is off to a great start, and the top of the order just seems it's just really tough. And it was good to see Zach Watson finally get a couple hits. He's been scuffling a little bit here out of the gate, because they're gonna need him. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, this is a ridiculous statistics from Duplantis. All right, first of all, he's almost got a 1,200 OPS. Right, it's like 1,191 or something like that. 1,191. That's it. He has walked twice, and in seven games, has not struck out yet.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and you would think in today's day in Major League Baseball, where it's the outcomes are pretty traditional, right? It's either a home run, a strikeout, a flyout, or a walk. That Major League teams would covet a guy like Anton Duplantis, who just puts the ball in play. And I think eventually, the game will kind of swing back to that. Because that's what we see. We see cycles with these games all the time, and then you would think a guy like him would be someone major league teams would covet because he can put the ball in play. He's got speed. He hits from the left side. He does a lot of good things. I mean, he's a good outfielder. Again, maybe not a five-star defender out there, but he's pretty darn good. So he's helping to boost his resume. There's no doubt about it. And then if he had a little pop to the bat, that just makes him that much more of a major league prospect.
I mean, he's looking like either a number, a leadoff hitter, maybe number two hitter in the big leagues. You want a little bit more pop in the number three spot, but like you said, maybe he's had that to his game. And I think we'll find out a lot more about this LSU team going up against better competition this weekend against Texas.
Yeah, they got Texas. They got South Alabama Tuesday, who, if you remember, beat them a couple years ago. And that's when LSU fans said the season was over.
Right.
They lost
him
in a midweek game, and LSU ended up being national runner-ups that year. Southern's on Wednesday. So, yeah, the competition, this will be a good weekend. Good to see these freshman pitchers. Jaden Hill, he's obviously looked really good against, and he's pitched against Air Force and Bryant. Now he gets to go up against Texas. Let's see what this guy's really kind of made of. Landon Marceau, let's see what he's kind of made out of. Can Zach Hess set the tone on Friday night with a good outing? So this is a good test to see where they're at, especially with these starting pitchers who, the book is still out on them because you got two freshmen in there and you got a Zach Hess who is yet to show that he can be consistently good as a starter.
Actually, tomorrow night, we'll get the first hour and a half of Tiger Rag live at 6 p.m. LSU basketball pregame show, not till 7:30.
There you go. That's
all right.
Great.
That leading right into it. That's a good lead-in. Tiger Rag will, of course, review everything and look ahead and probably get some they're already way ahead on the football recruiting, right? What, they got 11 guys, 12 guys? Did they get anybody over the weekend?
No, I don't think they got anybody over the weekend, but 24/7 Sports, you've got them rated number one, just ahead of Alabama. Now, we'll see where it is come December and February of next year, but pretty good start for Ed Orgeron.
It certainly is. All right, I appreciate it, Jeff. Thank you so much.
All right, Dave, have a good one.
All right, no strikeouts in seven ballgames for Anton Duplantis. And by the way, Mondo setting an NCAA indoor record. Is that it? There's a difference between the indoor and the outdoor. So Mondo set an indoor record for the pole vault. Well done. Again, somewhere along the way, Cody, don't you have to ask Paul Mainieri, can't you just get Mondo Duplantis as a pinch runner? You need another pinch runner out there. Doesn't have to hit. Doesn't have to field. Just use him as a pinch runner. Yes, Tiger Rag will be at 6 on Tuesday, followed by LSU basketball. For some reason, the Will Wade show is taking priority on Wednesday instead of the baseball game. So we'll have Five Guys Stories and Lies on Wednesday, and the Will Wade show will follow. So no midweek LSU baseball games. This week, of course, we'll have the Texas games as well. All right, let's take a timeout. We'll reset. Fausti 832, Scott D. Kushner 845. After this, We'll be back on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The Game. All right. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a Monday morning sports chat. 706-0111, 706-0111. We have a few Shut Up Dave poll questions. All right. First off, can you say smart ass? We're saying smart ass, associate producer. Indoor is inside and outdoor is outside, so it's a little different. Super genius. Thanks. Thank you so much for pointing that out. Again, Mondo DePlanis got the indoor record, NCAA indoor record for pole vaulting. Congratulations. Is he going early? Does he have to stay 3 years? is that talk coming on?
Stay early for what, the Olympics? I don't know.
Does he have to stay for the – he doesn't have to stay for the Olympics.
No, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, what would he leave early for?
Cash.
Just straight, just going professional.
Straight cash.
Heard that, homie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Europe. They pay – who knew that? I didn't know that. I'm saying the same thing. Why wouldn't he go to school? Money. Seven figures.
Right. No. There it is. Yeah. And if you're setting records in NCAA, assumingly you can get better.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're going a little bit stronger. I would presume a little bit stronger, right? I mean, again, we could see the difference between Naz Reid, who's 6'10", 250, and 18,
right,
and Grant Williams, who's 6'7", 235, and he's 22. You can see the difference,
right?
Right.
So there's a future. But, yeah, I mean, hey, he's LSU, shout out to you. You now have a kid that holds the record indoor pole vaulting.
That's right. That's right.
What was it? I saw it was like 9 feet something or something like that. Or was it 19 feet maybe is what I saw?
Was it 19 feet? I saw it was like 5.2 meters, I thought. I saw the meters part of it. Let's check out the poll questions.
19 feet 5 inches.
19 feet 5 inches.
Goodness.
Yeah, goodness. And then did a flip for good measure.
Well, of course, style points.
Did a backflip for good measure.
Style points.
With the LSU basketball team... team's win over Tennessee is Will Wade raise expectations for Final Four or bust? 29% say yes. 43% say no. 28% don't like the question. Shut up, Dave. Maybe Palermo is right. It is Sweet 16 or bust. But we were saying that a couple weeks ago. I was saying that already. You know, anyone outside of the top four teams, you know, again, a Virginia, Duke, a Kentucky, you know, maybe a Houston, you know, you get to the second weekend of the season, you've had a good year. All right. That's why it's like Syracuse last year got hot for three games. You know, you've had a good season. If you're playing on the second weekend in the NCAA tournament, right, they have to do at least that. That is a little bit disappointing. It's not devastating, but a little bit disappointing. Oh, let's see here. Is there more good from LSU's win over Tennessee or bad from their loss at home to Florida? This was not as lopsided as I thought it was going to be. More good from the win over UT, 56%. 28% said more bad from UF. Yeah, I'm in that UF thing. Not to be a negative Nelly, but that's a disappointing loss. I would not say such a thing if the game was on the road. Now, if you go lose on the road to Florida, that's bad because you just lost to them at home. You got to return the favor. But if they lost to them on the road, I wouldn't. It's not an issue. Winning in college sports on the road is hard. All right, it's just plain hard. And after a 1-6 start, is Cajuns baseball in trouble? 78% say yes, 22% say no. I guarantee you. First of all, we got to hear about Gunner. Okay, that's priority number one. Allegedly, it's a forearm, but that's where the issues usually get. Once you hear it's a forearm, that usually is connected to the elbow, and that's where the problems lie. So hopefully he's all right, because if Gunner's not all right, you know, kiss the season goodbye, all right? That's it. Somewhere along the way, you got to get these freshmen weathered, as Robe would say. But I guarantee you he's going to say, look, you know, we were one out away from getting out of the seventh inning. We had a lead into the ninth. We took Southeastern to the tenth. But you know, you've lost six ball games, and four of them come in the final at bat of the other team. Ouch. And you almost gave away another ball game against Texas on Sunday in a ball game you were leading 8-2, and they had a chance to actually win the game in the ninth inning. So you got to turn it around quickly. Who do they have? They get Maryland. Did you say Southeastern? Are they playing Southeastern?
The Cajuns?
Yeah.
Yeah, on the road. Yes, sir.
On the road.
Tomorrow night, tomorrow evening.
All right, there you go. All right, so I'll add Southeastern tomorrow. All right, and that's a big ball game. All right, again, you can, as far as I'm concerned, the last thing I'm going to worry about with LSU or with UL baseball is RPI and net. I don't even know if they're using that. Is net, are they only using that for basketball? RPI is still being used for the other things? Softball just goes straight. What they were used to do is just straight RPI. There wasn't even a choice. Right, just right down the list. Those are our national seeds, top 16. Boom. I'm not worried about that. This team's got to turn it around. Because as of right now, and it is only two weekends in, so you can't go crazy. All right. We don't want to go crazy on this. But right now, it looks like the only way this UL baseball team is getting in to the NCAA tournament is winning the Sun Belt Conference tournament, all right? And they had a great turnaround last year. And the problem was the pitching slipped up and they didn't have the bats to come around. The bats appear to be coming around, to be honest with you, right? I mean, they're leading Sam Houston State 5-1 in the seventh. It's a game you should win. 5-0 into the seventh inning and 6-0 into the seventh inning in another ball game, and 8-5. Yeah, those didn't last. So that's an issue. Little bit of an issue. All right. Two guests coming up. Fausti up next. Didn't he say they were going to dominate the Sam Houston State series, didn't they? We got that. Yeah. Even though not knowing anything about Sam Houston State. All right. I don't mind being a homer, but if you know anything about that team or this team, you know, that's the thing. And Scott D. Kushner talking Pelicans. On a Monday morning sports chat on the KDM Sports Station, 103.7. The Game. Can we go to the requested song? No?
Shortly.
All right.
I didn't want to screw it up because I've done that before where I've rushed it for you and then I ruined what you were trying to do. And
all right.
I don't want to do that.
I got it. All right, let's go out to the Arco Equipment Hotline. George Fausti, the Dean King of Acadiana Sportscasters from KLFY. Good morning, Fausti. How are you?
Good morning. Doing all right, man. I'm getting things rolling here on a Monday.
All right. I think one said, because I went out to L.A., and you never know what happens out to L.A., but, boy, you did say the Cajuns were going to take 2 out of 3 against Sam Houston State, didn't you?
I did say it. Can't back away from it. It didn't work out that way, but yeah, I'm a little surprised at how they played, and what's that saying? They took victory from the jaws of defeat, or
right.
Defeat from the jaws of victory.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's quite interesting because I really thought that they would have been a better team than Sam Houston. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little surprised at how they've started this season. I mean, Texas, I figured they'd win one and they did. So I was right on that count. I'm definitely a little surprised at the slow start so far for the Cajuns on the diamond.
How concerned are you?
Well, you know, It's concerning, but it's not. There's no need to hit a panic button of any sort right now.
Ooh.
I mean, I don't. It's such a long season, and you work. There's so much work that goes into it, and there's so much that still has to happen. The team still doesn't know exactly what their identity is with regards to, you know, if they're gonna be able to hit the ball better than they did a year ago. Obviously, pitching's always a big concern. And if you have to battle injuries, then that's something that's going to happen. And who's going to step up? And so I just think it's way too early to go, you can count them out, or hey, it's done, it's over, or I just that's way too early for that.
All right. So what when you say don't hit the panic button, what would be hitting the panic button look like?
I think saying that there's no shot at them making the NCAA tournament, things like that. I think that's way too soon. You can't.
Right.
You don't know that at this juncture. There's too much to happen.
Sure.
There's too much baseball to be played, and other teams are going to run into same issues. That other teams that you're going to play are going to have issues as well. It's just there's too much to happen. There's too much going on. There's so much left. I mean, if we were saying this in the middle part of the season where they haven't had the opportunity to play, I mean, where they've already had the opportunity to play half their year, then yeah, okay. You know, something happens to somebody, like if something happens to a gunner or one of their studs behind the plate, then, or, you know, at first base, or, you know, all that, those issues that are cut, that they have coming into this year, and it was the middle of the season, you can go, they're not going to have time for somebody to be ready to replace whoever went down. But it's not the case. And there's a lot of baseball, and people, I mean, the theory, and the way Coach Rhodes coaches, you know, work while you're, not playing, I forget the exact Robism, but it's work while you wait. That's what it is.
Right,
work while
right,
you wait. So right. if the players are buying into that mentality, then something goes wrong. They should be able to step right in. So I just think it's too soon. I mean, really, LSU is playing. They're winning, but they're not looking like the world beaters that everybody thinks they should be. So do you hit the panic button for LSU because they're not beating teams by 20? And say, I don't know. So I it's just way too early to just. I think teams still have to kind of mold together. I mean, yeah, they've been practicing together, but they haven't been playing together. And so we'll see what happens. Give them a few more weeks.
I would say. Then, go ahead. Well, I was going to tell you that. I'm sorry. I said right now, and again, there's a ton to go, and you don't want to go crazy panicking. But right now, it looks like the only way they're going to get to the NCAA tournament is to win the Sun Belt Conference tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. See, I think it's even too early to say that because traditionally, the Sun Belt in baseball is not the Sun Belt in football. You know, where you're only going to, or the, you know, some about basketball, where you only get one team into a tournament. In baseball and both softball, usually you can get two teams in, maybe even three in baseball if you're having a really good year. So I'd say it's even a little bit too early to do that. I think you can give it a week. I think a week or two. And you're still playing the way you're playing right now, and you're still in the situation where you're only getting one win out of five or six, yeah, you're in trouble then. Then I definitely believe that could be the case. But it's a little too – it just started the season. The guys still – the cleats are the spikes still have spikes on them. They're not even worn down yet, you know. I mean, I'd say it's a little early for that, but – I understand why you say that, but I just think it's a little early.
All right, Fausti, try to give us a Robism. The spikes still have spikes on them. All right, use that as a drop. I don't know what that means. The spikes still have spikes on them. And I don't know what one more week means. If they lose 2 out of 3 to Maryland or 3 out of 3 to Maryland, are you then hitting the panic button?
My head would be over the button.
All right. I mean, here's the thing. Maryland was supposed to help out with the RPI. That's what Maryland was supposed to do. They don't need help with the RPI. They need help with, wins.
Yeah. I'm anxious to see I'd like to know if Coach Rhodes is surprised at the start. Because, I think there's expectations of what, there's our expectation, there's his expectation, there's the team, what the team really does.
And right.
I'm curious to see if he is actually surprised that they started this slow, because if they, I don't know. I haven't talked to him about it, but I would be willing to bet he's a little bit surprised that they've only won one game so far,
right,
this far into the season.
He's going to tell you. He's going to tell you how close he was to winning four others is what he's going to do.
Well, I bet you. But I mean, in his heart of hearts, he, there's coach speaking and there's what you really know. And I think I'm just curious if what he really believes is that, hey, you know,
are you going to be able to get that from him?
Maybe not in a press conference, no. But
so the next time we get Faust and he goes, sources tell us that Coach Robichaud kind of expected this.
Okay, all right, I'll work on it.
All right, Cajuns basketball, disappointing loss to Texas State, but they beat UTA. That was the game that they had to win. There's still a game and a half against UTA. They got a game in hand. They only got three to play. Cajuns have four. They still got a shot to get that double bye in the Sun Belt basketball tournament.
Yeah, look, it's a disappointing way to end that Texas road trip. But hey, you got one or two. You can't really complain too bad about that. Look, they're setting themselves up, and look, we've said it all year, and we'll continue to say it until the Sun Belt gets a little more respect nationally. I don't know if that'll ever happen with regards to the tournament, but you win those three games or you win that tournament, and you're in. And that's what the Cajuns can shoot for right here, and set themselves up for a nice little journey to New Orleans and knock that out. I mean, that's what it's all about. You set yourself up for that, and look, if you can. They seem to be kind of playing together and started finally kind of learning how to play, you know, and get comfortable playing without Malik and making that transition of to whatever they are going to be, whatever their identity would be without him, and with, you know, trying to find somebody to fill that hole, that void.
Right.
I think they finally kind of got into a groove the last couple of games here, and that's what you're seeing. And as they move forward, that could be huge coming to that tournament, because, you know, you only have to win the tournament to get in, and that's, there's only one team from the Sun Belt going to represent league. And that's, you know, they could be it. There's no reason why it can't be them.
Well, they have to get it to the where they only have to win three ball games. They probably can't get it to where they could win two, but maybe they would have to go undefeated, and the other teams would have to lose a few ball games, and then you got the tiebreaker and everything along those lines, and you lose the tiebreaker to Texas State now. So we'll see what happens. All right, we'll see what happens. If they can get it to where they're a three or four seed and only have to win three games compared to four or bad five, they got a shot. All right, Fausti, we won't hold you. Yep. We won't hold you to that Sam Houston prediction for more than a couple weeks.
I said what? Well, I'm even, because I said they'd win one against Texas. So there you go. I mean,
we don't remember that one. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
No one remembers
that. That's why I keep bringing it up.
Yeah.
I was right.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
I was right.
Yeah. No, but you talk like you knew Sam Houston State inside and out was the thing.
I just said I think they should beat them because if you're a better conference and you're a bigger team in a better conference, you know, you should be beating a team that's in a conference that's perceived lower than you. That's all I'm saying.
Well, where perceptions can be deceiving.
I understand, but that's how the world works.
That Fausti is being wrong. That's how the world works. All right, we'll end it there.
I was right. We'll end it there.
All right, I was right 2 weeks ago. All right, I appreciate it, George.
All right, man.
All right, just having some fun. All right. Just having some fun.
I know. I was here still.
He was really kind of cocky for that.
I'm with you, Dave. I don't recall George saying anything about winning one of three from Texas.
Oh, right.
He was
a little bit cocky with the Texas Southern, with the Sam Houston one. That was the only thing. And, you know, I don't know because, again, we only saw the Cajuns, you know, win one of three against Texas. They didn't look particularly good in doing that, to be honest with you. And Sam Houston's been better the last couple of years. Whether it's Deggs or not, whatever the case is, he's just, you know, well, they're in a, Cajuns are in a better conference. They got a better program. A little bit. A little bit. All right, we'll be back. Put a bow on it. Scott D. Kushner's got daddy duty, so hopefully he'll join us tomorrow. All right, so no Kush. All right, you know what? Festival was announced. Let's talk a little bit about that. All right, we can put a bow on that with that. Some good music. Coming up after this on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The Game. Robert Randolph and the Family Band. Keep it going, right? I Need More Love. I wore out this CD. This is an old CD. I mean, put that on at 6 a.m. and start running. You're feeling pretty good. So that's going to be a good show, all right? Please don't make it on a Thursday, all right? To where I can watch an hour of it. Or put it on a Friday where I got a high school football game I got to call. And Cody is introducing Samantha Fish. That's just not going to work this time. All right. You got a little Anders Osborne? This one's a little bit harder. All right. Oh, I'm a little bit softer there. You got the right one?
They say I'm a lonely creature. Oh, okay.
That could be it. Acoustically. All right. But I saw him. He was actually at the New York State Blues Fest. And he's actually a little bit edgier. He's got a little bit, not in this case, apparently.
Well, I picked, there. He has a song that was like Mind of a Junkie.
Right.
And so, like, I was wary of the lyrics in that song. So I picked one that I felt the lyrics maybe were.
All right. But he's a little bit edgier on a blues basis. Actually, Robert Randolph's got another good song, Moving in the Right Direction. And Smile is a really tough song to listen to. It's a good song, but a tough song to listen to. 706-0111, 706-0111. So we're looking forward to Festival. That's three right there. UL's got a blues band they're putting out. They're playing. That's pretty good. So we'll have some a good time with that where we're not spending $185 on seeing the Stones. Or something along those lines. Good stuff. Again, 706-0111, 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. Again, Scott D. Kushner, daddy duty. All right, the sun got up.
This is Kush.
We could do that for 4.5 minutes. This is Kush.
This might be our moment, Dave. This might be the time. He bailed me. I only have a 4 minute. This might be the time.
This is Kush.
Biscush.
Baseball wise, we knew Manny Machado signed last week before I left, and now Bryce Harper with the Phillies and maybe the Dodgers. It appears, Cody, that the Dodgers and Magic Johnson listened to 103.7 The Game and Sports Chat because apparently they are giving Bryce Harper a very short term, highly lucrative deal. Joe Giglio of, I think, WIP in Philadelphia. Let's see if that's right. Yeah, WIP in Philadelphia, sports talk show host. Man, he was the one who put somebody down. Did he put LSU down? He put LSU down for something. Or was it the Saints? Oh, he picked the Eagles over the Saints. Manny Machado wanted to play for the Yankees. He took more money to play for the Padres. Patrick Corbin wanted to play for the Yankees. He took more money to play for the Nationals. Bryce Harper likely wants to play out west for the Dodgers. He's likely to take the most money. That's from the Phillies. Overall, what happens, Cody, if the Dodgers say, as ridiculous as this sounds, 3 years, $150 million? Now he's 29.
I feel like we're back at square one almost at that point.
You know, or $350 for 10. You know, $35 million guaranteed, $350 overall, but now I could go make $150 for 3 years and do this all again. I heard that this morning.
Right.
Or, yeah.
Or at least the way it worked out for LeBron. I don't know if that's how he approached it, but the way it worked out.
Up until now, right? He did the 4-year deal.
Right, because everything.
With the Lakers.
Yeah, it was.
Well, a couple of years was with the couple one-year deals with the Cavs, I think, right? It's like a one-year with an option type of deal.
Right.
But we suggested that why wouldn't, if you want him on a short-term basis, overpay him annually. Now he's got a higher amount of money per year. But, you know, different than if you're giving him 40 compared to 35, I'm not sure if that's that big a difference when you're talking about a 10-year deal, right?
You just go for the Bobby Bonilla deal. Well, get you one of them.
Right. Well, that's
100 years for $1 billion.
That's right. That's right. I mean, Bobby Bonilla Day is going to be coming up here soon. Get another $1 million.
Smartest man in baseball.
Well, I mean, he must have been going, what are you talking about? Trust me with this. All right. When you need, I mean, I just saw this. Was it, wasn't Darius Miles? I saw something today where one of those NBA players, Darius Miles is a kid on the, is he on the, is that the kid on the Pelicans?
I don't want to lie.
No, there it is. There it is. No, it's not. He's not the kid on the, okay. He's not. I got it. Here's how ex-NBA star Darius Miles made $62 million and is bankrupt. Bobby Bonilla keeps on getting $1 million every year. Do we have a date for that? When's Bobby Bonilla Day? I mean, the smartest agent of all time.
July 1st.
There you go.
And that's going to run till 2035.
2035. That's 16 more years from now. He last played, did it say when he's last played? Bonilla's agent, Dennis Gilbert, was an insurance agent at the same time he developed into a super agent. The Mets owed Bobby Bonilla $5.9 million for the 2000 season and no longer wanted him. So the club negotiated with Gilbert to attach an 8% annual interest rate to the money. With a clock starting in 2000, that adds up to almost $30 million. The first installment of the payout came July 1st, 2011.
It's $1.19 million.
$750,000 a year after taxes? That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Look at the smile. I love the smile on his face behind the Bonilla jersey. Oh, you dummies.
You got to love that. You got to love that. All right. Thanks to Theo Slyman, Mike Murphy, Jeff Palermo, and Faust. Regular guys coming up. The Rap Game with RP3. The Jim Rome Show. The Jordy Holbrook Show featuring Jordy. And Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Keep it live and local all day long here. 103.7 The Game.